Welcome to the Heavenly Banquet, where the hungry are filled with good things. I'm Chad.
And I'm Charlotte.
Charlotte, the last few episodes have, during Lent, have been on spiritual practices. And you have developed a spiritual practice, Requies Divina. And I thought it would be interesting and helpful to hear you speak about that practice. And maybe you can tell us, first of all, what does Requies Divina mean? And then maybe describe the practice. Sure. What is Requies Divina?
So, yeah, it's something that I've made up, and although it has roots in other things, but it's an ongoing experiment. So what I describe right now may not be quite what we're doing in another six months or a year. But Requies Divina, kind of a play on Lectio Divina and Visio Divina, this divine reading, divine seeing. And then here we have divine rest.
Okay.
So I'm looking for something that's playing off of some things that are more popular in the wellness industry, and specifically Christianizing those things around meditation, breath work, attention to the body, releasing tension. Wouldn't we want to do that too?
Yeah.
But grounded further into, you know, your breath is God's breath. That's how close God is to you. And so this repetition of these kind of breath prayers. But I'm also trying to give them some tools to use, my folks. And it's kind of twofold. One reason that I've seen people be hesitant to start a fuller experience of spiritual practices is that they don't feel immediate results.
Okay.
And they're looking for, you know, let's say Osuna says, if I sit down and I have this quiet time, I could meet God. That may not happen the first time you sit and do it. No, you're going to get past, you have to get past the misery of being in silence with your own thoughts and sustaining a practice to start to get somewhere. Most of us, I'm not saying it's not possible to have these grand encounters as beginners, but generally you want to see something. It's like you pick up a violin or an instrument.
Yeah.
You're not going to play a song on the first time. You're making terrible sounds, right?
Might not even be fun.
Yeah. And so people find that discouraging and put it aside. And often what's kind of frustrating for me as somebody trying to teach those things or encourage people in it is I'm like, I think you were really on the brink of something, you know, the time they're giving it away, you know, I'm like, oh, I think if you stuck with it one more week, you could have found something. I find though, if I ask people, close your eyes and sit in silence for a couple of minutes and then say, how do you feel now? They will say they feel better than they did moments before. And if I'm adding on to that with some really simple breath work of just controlling inhalation and exhalation and being attentive to that, then it's even more. And that's if we're talking about doing a 2 or 3 minute practice, that they'll come out of that with, I feel different. I feel more relaxed. I feel more at peace. I feel more attuned to kind of what's going on around me for at least a brief time. I can make a promise that if folks come to Requies Divina, they should feel more relaxed, more connected to God, but they're going to have an experience that they will see beneficial to them. And I can use that then, hopefully also, to be a baseline for when I say, hey, you might want to try X too, some other spiritual practice. I'm going to say it may take more of an investment of your time and energy to get to that place, but that's going to be something else that's beneficial to you. So what we're doing right now is we have about a 45-minute session. Folks are invited in. They can bring anything they want with them. Folks are coming. First, they started coming just with yoga mats. They come now with yoga mats and pillows and blankets and all kinds of things to get kind of snuggly and comfortable in their little cocoon. They settle on the floor of our sanctuary. We're doing this at night. The lights are very much dimmed. I'm inviting them to kind of close their eyes and rest and take in this gift of rest that God is going to offer them that night. And in the sanctuary, a place that they understand as a safe space where they can relax and rest, that's free from distraction. And then I lead them through a guided meditation and prayer, where they're welcome to bring specific intentions for prayer or just the intention of, I just want to rest. I just want to relax. And so we do breath work throughout. I offer them a series of images, to contemplate around creation, things that are relaxing to them, but kind of ever expanding into the cosmos. And to hopefully give them also the sense of not only being connected to God within themselves, within the idea of our breath is God's breath. God's breath is our breath. That's how near God is to us, but also a connection greater to ourselves within creation, within the cosmos, and the sense of wellness within that, that God actually has everything. And our little core group has been growing. People look forward to it. People are welcome to spend at the end of the guided meditation as long as they want in the space, and then get ready to emerge back into the world. So I think it's been useful. I know it's been useful because of some of the comments that we've gotten. And particularly around people who have learned to take some of these breath prayers for that, you know, that time at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. when you wake up and you can't go back to sleep because the anxieties of the day to come and the anxieties of the days that have passed or anything else is just in your brain. And that now they have language around relaxation that is specifically Christian too, that they can use for those moments and to calm and relax themselves, not just in those moments, but in moments throughout their day that may be anxiety inducing. And they become more attentive to where they're holding tension in their bodies and things like this. And so that they can return to even bits of this practice in their daily lives to kind of reconnect, recenter themselves and find some comfort and a bit of that rest in God to then proceed with their days.
So it's that's great. So it's a guided meditation. You're speaking to them as they lay there. Is that how it works?
Yeah. Okay. We have lots of silence, you know, in these big spaces, you know, and I'm inviting them to do things like, you know, just take a moment and think about how you feel. There's a big period of silence in which they are practicing a breath prayer through it, so silently to themselves. And then, you know, a series of comforting images. We go through the whole body as far as relaxing everything from the tiny little muscles in your scalp down to your toes. So it's borrowed some of the techniques and script, if you will, from some yoga nidra practices, which also have a root in a late 19th century American Christian practices around relaxation. So there's a blend of things in there, but I think, and I hope what we're doing is more specifically Christian in providing them experience of spiritual contact and renewal, and starting to train them on that language that they can fall back on when they need themselves.
Nice. Can you say something about breath prayers? When you say that, I think of like the Jesus prayer and coordinated breathing out and breathing in, breathing out. Is that kind of what you mean?
Yes, exactly. So the Jesus prayer is a prayer that I use when I'm anxious or need to rest. And particularly if I have kind of an invasive thought or a repeated thought or anxiety, just going to silence or just breath almost leaves space for that to continue. So I'm trying to flush it out with some other words while also containing my breath and trying to recenter my body as well. Mm-hmm. So for the Jesus prayer, the way that I learned it, and there's lots of variations on this, obviously, but it's, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So I'm going to inhale during, while thinking silently to myself, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, and then exhale on, have mercy on me, a sinner. And repeat that. I'll find sometimes if I am like way up here with my anxiety, then I'm breaking that into two full breaths. Then I'm going, inhaling just on Lord Jesus Christ, exhaling on Son of God, inhaling on have mercy on me, exhaling on a sinner. And I may have to do that a couple times and then get to a place of better control where I can just do it in one breath. I've taught them that. We also just use a couple simpler prayers around just God's breath is my breath is God's breath. And the same idea of inhaling on the first phrase and exhaling on the second phrase. So that they have that language, it's affirming, and it's a tool then to quite literally calm the body.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got deep roots in the Christian tradition too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just when you say the name, of course, Requiescat Divina, but when you say divine rest, and then I think of it as a spiritual practice, you know, it's like, wow, what an obvious spiritual practice we should be doing, you would think. This idea of resting in God and kind of giving it up to God. What are some theological thoughts or intuitions behind the practice for you?
I had a conversation with Bosco Peters, who's a New Zealand Anglican priest, who runs this site called liturgy.co.nz, which is wonderful, nerdy liturgy stuff and really insightful work on prayers and things. And so I've been following him since, I don't know, the early 2000s. But I had a conversation with him that was supposed to be around digital media, and it was. But when I was asking him about, you know, challenges facing the church and kind of where the church wanted to look, he was talking about spiritual practices and spirituality and the fact that we have survey after survey of these younger generations of younger millennials and Gen Z are reporting higher experiences of spirituality than previous generations, but we know also aren't part of the church generally. And that's something that they were literally craving. And that also, because the church has, and I'll say mainline Protestant churches, I think that's an important distinction, has kind of withheld those gifts from folks, has not been sharing them. So that if somebody's thinking to themselves, I would like to be more spiritual, I would like to do something that's going to have me in contact with the spiritual, they tend to turn toward Eastern religions, towards Buddhism, and those contemplative practices, which are fine. There's much to glean there. But we actually have this full tradition of spiritual practices that we haven't been necessarily equipping people with and being loud about, to the fact that somebody is then going to go, oh, why wouldn't I try, you know, Requies Divina, or why wouldn't I try Lexio Divina or Visio Divina, or labyrinth walking or any of these other things that we do. So that had been playing in my mind for a while, as well as the idea of, can I give something that's going to give more kind of instant results for people? The other part of that, and with the conversation that I had with Bosco, was thinking about the pandemic and the fact, and again, talking about mainline Protestant Christianity, and maybe I have to, should further qualify that with American, but congregations had been from the, at least the mid 20th century, basing this programming around Sunday morning worship. Maybe there's a midweek Bible study. There's Sunday school, but it's academic really in nature. And then fellowship events, you know, your potlucks and crafting and things like this. So when the pandemic happens and churches can't get together, what are the tools that I have at home as a Christian to actually practice this religion, right? So there's a scramble to get church service online, and okay, fine, there's better ways to do that than others, but it's not the same, you know? And maybe you can get the Bible study online or something. You can't really get the fellowship events online. We tried to do coffee hours and stuff, but it's different because you're all talking in big groups and not one-on-one stuff. But the church generally failing with, we never taught people how to pray. I mean, we didn't. And then we said, oh, and there's this terrible, terrible thing that's happening that is scary. And it's not just the pandemic. It's that moment that was unveiling all of just how bad our healthcare system was and what huge economic disparity there was in this country and racial inequality and just everything that was happening during that year. And the church had not equipped folks with tools to deal with that in any way on their own, right? It's like you do Christianity happens Sunday morning. Well, that's at the church. Yeah. And I'm at home and I'm freaking out and I don't have Christian tools to deal with here because we hadn't been sharing spirituality. So that's also part of my push, because I think the church with a big C, or at least the mainline American Protestant church, absolutely failed that moment. And they failed it decades before that moment. Right. It wasn't about failing just the pandemic. It was that they hadn't been doing any of those things, you know. And then I was thinking, you know, it was a brief period of time when I was flirting really hard with the Roman Catholic Church and had gotten myself in the Roman Catholic initiation of adults, preparing for confirmation within the Roman Catholic Church and going to weekly classes there. And what were we learning? How to pray the rosary and what it would be like to have an anointing. And and we were learning spiritual practices. It wasn't doctrine. It was doctrine, but it was doctrine in that form, you know? And I was so amazed during that with, like, nobody's ever taught me this kind of stuff in a Protestant church. It's kind of like, you know, the Lord's Prayer, which is something you recite and you maybe don't think about, but otherwise you don't have this broad band of tools, but we do.
but we do. That have been around for a very long time.
Yeah. And they would just had never been put into my hands. And that also made me start to realize, oh, is it the Roman Catholic Church that I want? Or is it the spirituality that I want? That's actually from the broadest swath of Christianity, both historically and globally. So can I access something there within my own tradition and try to share that so that when these moments happen, people are equipped and aren't just left, you know, at home to wander around the way that the Roman Catholics, the Greeks, the Russian Orthodox, you know, they're talking about the house as the little church, you know, your domicile as another place where you practice Christianity. And we had so limited that to the building, even though we kept saying the church isn't a building, isn't the building, blah, blah, blah. But there's actually nothing that we're going to tell you to do outside of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Spiritual practices. I mean, I guess this is kind of meta to the discussion, and maybe we should have a whole different podcast on it, but it does seem to be the shift away from a dogma centered faith to a more experiential centered faith. People want to experience God, and that expectation shouldn't be boo booed. I mean, it's, that makes sense, you know, yeah. Fascinating. So I have just a practical question about this practice. What if you fall asleep? How is it, okay? Or
yeah, actually we open each session with that, or I do, as far as saying, you know, inviting people to get cozy, introducing myself, thanking them for being there, going ahead and telling them that there will be a time during our meditation where they'll be invited to invoke a particular prayer request or intention. So to give them some time to think about that then if they want to. And then I said, if you fall asleep, it's fine. Accept the rest that God is giving you. I mean, that's, people don't just like fall asleep. They fall asleep because they're feeling very restful and or they need sleep.
They need rest. Right.
You know, and I know what this world is like. So if you fell asleep, I'm going to let you sleep.
Right? Yeah.
I'll kind of take that as a compliment that we got you all the way to that kind of deep rest and not just to a place. People are describing the place where they normally end up in that kind of thin space between being awake and starting a dream. Is where they find themselves during this. And some sink all the way into rest, and somebody
start snoring.
I've heard people snore a little bit, but I think, okay, just we're all going to match our breath to that then. I mean, it's, you know, I don't look at it as a kind of distraction, of course, but as, okay, you are, that guy is really rested. So good on him. We did it.
So you've mentioned a little bit about, well, first of all, I just want to go back to something you mentioned about doing a quick couple minutes, getting people to just sit still and rest and maybe do a breath prayer or something, and how just doing it a few minutes, you can see the difference that you're rested, for instance, or more focused. Can you say a little more about, mentioned a little bit, but a little more about people's response to doing the 45 minutes and their experience that you've received from those who participate?
Yeah, I mean, I think the responses that have made me most happy, let's say, are the folks who have said that they're taking portions of that that have stuck with them and then recalling and using those at times of anxiety during their day or in the middle of the night when they can't get back to sleep, that those are becoming tools for them to soothe themselves and to rest. That makes me really happy. It makes me really happy when folks linger afterwards and just want to sit in silence longer and adding that. And then when folks are leaving the space in the evening, they're carrying generally that silence out with them. Nice. And they give me a little, you know, head nod and a whispered little thank you on the way out. But the difference that I can even see between the way they enter the space and the way they leave that space is noticeable. That they're coming with their day with them, and they're starting to shed that because they know what they should expect, but they're coming in a kind of, you know, full voiced and still excited and wanting to chat a little bit with each other about how things are going and this and that. And then they're leaving a very different disposition of quiet, not just, I don't just mean verbally or vocally quiet, but they move different, like with an intentionality that I didn't see when they first came in. So they're experiencing something. They're telling me it's positive because they're coming back again, but they're finding some rest there. And I think it helps too to make an appointment with it. You know, I mean, when we talk about starting these other practices, that's one thing. If I intend, you know, to put aside 10 minutes every morning to do, to sit in silence or something, there's always going to be an excuse for me not to do that. There's always going to be something going on that day or something from the night before, you know, or a pet that needs attention or, you know, construction or something. There's going to be some reason I can find to not do that. Yeah. But coming to the building, sitting, and then being led, making that kind of commitment to the time, I think is useful for them too. And I hope it leads to them doing more contemplation and meditation. But I think, or I'm hopeful that giving them a basis of positive, tangible experience from that is going to encourage them to broaden their practices.
Is there some place where someone at home can access a guided meditation?
Yeah, we have one in this feed. There's, and I don't remember if it's maybe October or November. We did a recording of one. I think that's maybe half an hour long or so. You would be encouraged to sit, find yourself a comfy place, whether that's in your bed or resting in a chair, it doesn't matter. But you can experience that there. And then I've been posting some little 3-minute moments of mindfulness to our church YouTube and Facebook page, and that's Chester Presbyterian Church.
Okay.
But those may be good starters too.
You know, I think as I've been listening to you and just thinking about my own practice, in some ways I would think it would be maybe for some people or just in general more advantageous to begin with guided meditation because you have something to occupy your mind instead of just trying to sit in stillness and silence with nothing. And you're just there with your thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to have some voice and phrases and thoughts and words to occupy your mind.
I think it produces maybe some anxieties that people have or that sometimes when I sit in silence, there's a background part of my brain that's going, how long have I been sitting here? How much longer am I supposed to do this? Is something going to happen? I mean, we've talked about ways to deal with some of those thoughts before. But if I'm sitting in a session and somebody else is in control, let's say, is guiding that session, I know that session is, whether it's 3 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, that person is in charge of my time. Then I start to feel like I can really, and I mean this when I've listened to other kind of guided meditations, I can fall more easily myself into that more fully because I'm not worried about how long is this going to take? What's going to happen? Am I doing it right? You know, or something that I'm just listening, that I'm trying to enter this world of sound and sensation of centering my breath and myself, and I'm not doing quote unquote the work of it.
That's exactly kind of my thought about it, how it might be much easier to get into a contemplative place with a guided meditation than on your own and in silence, because that can be difficult.
Yeah. And discouraging sometimes.
And discouraging, right. So you don't stick with it. And like you were saying, probably the one thing that should be iterated, I'm sure with every spiritual practice, is just keep doing it, because sometimes the best results take a while.
Yeah. And there may also be that some of them aren't for you.
Right.
Like tools, or if we're, you know, can make the comparison to instruments or something else, like, okay, that one's actually just not connecting with you. But something like contemplation, whether that's silent or guided, or even just these bits and pieces of breath prayers from them or something. That's something you could do anywhere.
Anywhere.
And something, you don't need anything to do them. Nobody and no one around you needs to know you are doing them.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good point. It's nice to
definitely can be on the airplane and there's too much turbulence, you know, mm-hmm. and what am I going to do? I'm going right to that breath prayer, you know, something like that. And nobody needs to know that that's happening.
That's right.
But, you know, they're wholly portable tools. It's not, you know, I'm going to sit down and even, you know, I have to have a Bible, at least for most of the other ones. This is just the most egalitarian of the spiritual practices, I think.
A way to carry your faith into your daily living instead of, oh, it's Sunday. This is time to do my faith.
Yeah.
And it's experiential too. Very nice.